You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Gambling is a lucrative business. In BC, gambling generated over $2.6 billion last year. In Ontario, the figure was even larger, $3.7 billion. Gambling is big, and it's getting bigger. It's no wonder that the managers of this cash cow are quick to advertise its benefits. The money, we are told, goes to nonprofits, local communities, and healthcare. What we are not told is where the money comes from. It often comes from problem gamblers. Some are addicts who do not know their limit and who do not play within it. In Ontario, a potential $3.5 billion class action lawsuit against the Ontario Lottery and Gaming Corporation is being launched. It charges that the gambling corporations did not adequately hinder problem gamblers from entering casinos. Hassan Fancy is co-counsel in the proposed class action. He joins me by phone now from Toronto. Hello, Hassan.
Good morning, Sean. How are you?
Good. Now, the proposed lawsuit is targeting the OLG, the Ontario Lottery and Gaming Corporation. Who's launching the suit?
Two class representatives, Peter Dennis and his wife, Zubin Noble. All the Class A plaintiffs in the class action are people who signed a self-exclusion form provided by the casino, which stated that they would keep the self-excluded gambler out of the casino. They would deny them entry. And the problem that arose is that the OLGC did not disclose to these people who were signing what we refer to as contracts the method by which enforcement would occur. The OLGC relied on human-based memory to remember over 10,000 faces in over 30 sites in Ontario with more than 20 million visitors a year. And that is not a system. That is a bluff. And the result was that these addicted gamblers could get easy access to the casinos to their significant detriment and to the detriment of their family members.
So 12,000 people signed a self-exclusion contract.
There's over 12,000 people that signed the self-exclusion contracts from the beginning. But the people that are within our Class A are approximately 10,474 because it includes self-excluders who signed between a certain period, December 1, 1999, and February 10, 2005. And the reason we have picked that particular chunk of time is because during that chunk of time, the self-exclusion contracts were very similar to each other. They were free, and they were very close in wording.
Now you have a Class A and a Class B type plaintiff for this class action lawsuit. Who falls into the Class B category?
Whenever there's an addicted gambler, his family members or her family members, such as the spouse and the children, the brothers and sisters and grandparents, often get very seriously impacted. Because the illness of problem gambling, also referred to as compulsive gambling, is very pervasive and produces some very significant consequences, ranging from severe depression to suicide. And as a result of the impact on the family members, we are also including them in the class action so that they can be compensated.
And this lawsuit was initiated, I believe, by Peter Dennis, a problem gambler himself. Can you tell us a little about his experiences?
Peter Dennis was a very responsible family man. He had a very lengthy career in sales, and he came to Canada sometime in the mid-90s, and he established himself well over here, and he was a very significant contributor to our society, and he bought his first home, and then he received some marketing materials of a casino in Ontario, and that's when he first visited a casino and gambled, and things spiraled very much out of control after that.
You say they spiraled out of control. Exactly how much money did he lose?
We haven't done a full count of his losses because we don't have all the financial information yet. But we have pleaded that his losses were approximately $200,000.
And what kind of consequences did this have for his family?
The consequences varied. I mean, Peter lost his job. He lost his home twice over, at least. His wife started to suffer from illness. His children's school grades dropped. One of the children tried to commit suicide. there were significant repercussions for both Peter and his family, and you know, and all of these consequences are quite natural and flow from a person who is suffering from compulsive gambling, which is why, you know, the OGC says that it has educational tools in addition to its problematic self-exclusion program. It often refers to this slogan, you know your limit and gamble within it. But the absurdity of it all is that if you're an addict, there is no limit. I mean, how can you know something that doesn't exist? And this is why, this is one of the reasons why this class action lawsuit has been launched, because there is a very inherent conflict of interest in the casino. The casino wants to promote gambling. They like to call it gaming, but let's not mince words over here. Whether we're talking about light cigarettes or ordinary cigarettes, they both produce cancer. In this case, whether we're talking about gaming or gambling, they both produce addicts. And about 4% of the addicts in Ontario, the problem gamblers, contribute about 36% of the Ontario Lottery Gaming Corporation's annual revenues, which is more than $1 billion a year. Now, in addressing the issue of responsible gambling, the OLGC spends about $35 million a year. In comparison, it spends well over $200 million in marketing gambling. So there's a significant disconnect between the way the OLGC manages responsible gambling and the way the OLGC promotes gambling in general.
You say they spend $200 million on marketing. Where does that money go?
It goes to a variety of traditional media outlets, but also, perhaps more importantly, they engage in a practice called direct personalized marketing. So they're actually sending out letters and marketing pieces to people who they know have engaged in a certain type of gambling. So, for example, if the person has played habitually on a slot machine, they will send materials relating to the promotion of a slot facility and some celebratory activity going on in the evening to entice the person to come in. And then they couple that marketing with something called a winner's program, where if you use a card which you get when you present a photo ID to the OLGC, you get points for the time that you spend gambling, whether or not you win or lose. And then you can trade in those points to get a variety of prizes and cashbacks and things of that nature. And this is all done not only to soften the sting of losing, but also to continue to reward the addict even when they are in financial demise.
You call the self-exclusion contract a bluff. Are there other systems in place around the world which are any better than the system in Ontario?
Yes, and I'll also respond to your point about why I called it a bluff. A significant study was done in Australia with respect to self-exclusion, where in Australia, self-exclusion was also based on human memory, and it was in that study that they called that system a bluff, which is why I use the term now, because again, the OLGC relies on human memory, and it defies common sense to suggest that a security guard or some other person can look at 10,000 photographs or 12,000 photographs and then remember the face amongst millions of visitors at more than 30 sites. Now, on the second part of your question, is there a better system than human memory? And the answer is absolutely yes. The Europeans have been using a system where they simply ask the person to produce a photo identification, and they use a data bank of self-excluded clients, and they cross-check to see whether, in fact, the person who is appearing at the entrance is, in fact, self-excluded or not. And if they are, they're not allowed entry. I went to Holland before the class action was started, and I researched this myself, and I saw the process, and it's very effective. But the OLGC seems to have a lot of difficulty in implementing this system, which has proven itself over the years to be quite effective.
Do you think you can compel, with this lawsuit, you can compel them to change their system?
I can tell you that after I had given notice to the OLGC and to the Attorney General of Ontario of my intention to bring a class action after we had succeeded on another case in which Justice McDonald had written about the fact that the self-exclusion form was indeed a contract. The OLGC started to carry out a study to change its operational model from human memory to one where they use facial recognition technology. And I understand at present they have started testing that facial recognition technology to deny self-excluded gamblers entry into the casino at one casino. Apparently it's a pilot test. Now what is important over here is not only that the OLGC is finally, after a $3.5 billion lawsuit, starting to take a right step in the right direction, but that facial recognition technology itself is plagued with a lot of problems, especially if it's not implemented well. The OLGC is using photographs that go back many years, which are of poor quality, and they're trying to use it in the context of a very high-grade facial recognition system where there is not a good match between the current system and the outdated photographs. So how the OLGC implements this system is going to become very important to determine its effectiveness, and that's where our experts and our team comes into play to ensure that they do a right job if indeed facial recognition is the right answer as opposed to photo ID carding.
We have large gambling interests here in BC. There is also large gambling interests in Alberta. Can you conceive of a situation where there's also class action suits in these provinces?
Easily. Easily. Indeed, I myself have been in correspondence with the BC Lottery Corporation, and I have been seeking information in connection with their policy and self-exclusion program. I think this class action is very much instructive to all casinos in Canada that they better get their act together, otherwise they're next.
That's good to hear. Thank you very much, Hassan.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Hassan Fancy. He is co-counsel in a proposed class action lawsuit against the Ontario Lottery and Gaming Commission. You can learn more about that suit by going to our website at cooperadio.org/redeye.